Welcome to Popular Cultural Sharing. My name is Lawin and I am your host. In this podcast, we give you an outsider's perspective about European life, culture, and pretty much anything that is connected to this continent. So get ready to learn something new in a light and entertaining way. All right, so welcome back everyone to Popular Cultural Cherry. Today we have a guest. He's also from Asia. He's actually called the Asian Polyglot. He has his own YouTube channel and that's pretty much how I found him. I was looking for polyglots that I could interview and I saw somebody called the Asian Polyglot and I thought it would be super interesting to get him on our show. Besides the fact that he speaks several Asian languages, he also does speak several European languages. Yeah, so Lucas, today he's with us. Thank you so much for allowing me to interview you, Lucas. And
hey, thanks so much, Lawin. I'm very happy to be here.
Lucas is based in Luxembourg, but right now he's like in between London and Luxembourg. The first question is, how does one actually come from Singapore and end up in Luxembourg?
Yeah, I feel like I've been super lucky in the sense that I've moved around quite a bit. I've been to a couple of different places, lived in a couple of different countries, and a part of it, I think, was very serendipitous. So I guess to give you a background on myself, I am from Singapore. I was actually born in Hong Kong. So my parents were from Hong Kong. We moved to Singapore in 1995, before the 1997 handover, if you know about the handover of Hong Kong from the UK back to China. Yeah, exactly. So we moved to Singapore. I grew up there and I went overseas to study first in the UK, fell in love with, you know, that part of the world, worked in London for a bit. And then I moved to Chicago for a new job. And yeah, basically most of my moves have been related to work. So here in Luxembourg as well was with a new employer that's headquartered in Luxembourg. So that's what made me end up going over there.
Although Singapore, Hong Kong, these are places with like strong British influence because of the history. Of course, it's not European, but it has some bits of Europe. And did that kind of pique your interest also? Like, was that a reason why UK was a choice for you to study, is because of the history?
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. I would say for me, Hong Kong and Singapore, yes, both ex-British colonies. And interestingly, like, we don't see that much of, I guess, the British influence in day-to-day life. Sure, you have like the legal system, you have English being the working language and all that stuff. And also like driving on the weird side of the road.
Right.
But besides that, I would say not so much. Like, I was never super interested in Europe when I was growing up in Singapore. I studied French for a little bit, for a 1 year during my military service in Singapore, just like for fun. And I guess like that made me somewhat interested, but it was more of the fact that I was, you know, pretty interested to study economics. And I knew that UK had some really strong faculties, for economics in university. So that made me, you know, go over there initially. And then once I was there, there's a lot of path dependency, right? Like, if you study in the UK, it's quite likely that you can end up getting a job in the UK as well. So that was like my first step. And from there, you build that experience like in those certain markets. And that's where you kind of stay unless you want to go back to Singapore, in which case it's doable. But it was more of luck, I guess, related to studies and work.
Yeah. Would you say though that, you know, coming from, you studied in Singapore first, I guess, like your high school?
Yeah, that's right. I studied high school in Singapore, primary, secondary, everything.
How would you say was the pressure in terms of like academic life? Was it like a lot different compared to like your time in the UK?
Oh yeah, for sure. It was so different. Like, I haven't thought about this for a long time, but in Singapore, I guess it's pretty stereotypical, but sometimes it's true in a sense. Like, you get very good at studying, right? You get very good at spending long hours in the library, developing a system of like remembering things or like understanding things or like practicing questions. So that's very much ingrained in me. In the UK, it was quite different. Like, sure, a lot of Singaporeans who ended up, even like Hong Kong people, Chinese people who ended up in the UK, they have an easy time at the start of uni because they know like all these concepts. But also the style is quite different. So in the uni where I went, we had these things called supervisions, where you sit in small groups of like maybe 3-4 students with one really expert professor who's like an expert in this field. And you basically have to like defend your answers to them. So there's a lot more talking. Culturally, there's a lot more idea exchange. It's a different approach to learning and it's a lot more communications based. So it's slightly different in that sense. It's rigorous in a different sense.
I can understand also everything like culturally, like your parents, the pressure, like just from society and your parents. I guess it's different, you know, in the West and in the East. And I say it because like also in the Philippines, it's the difference is quite stark in that sense. But yeah, let's jump over into your experiences. It's really interesting to me that you've moved around quite often. You said it's for work. I guess you pick up a lot of things along the way, and probably one of that is language. So maybe you could tell us like what languages you actually can speak and kind of how you got to learn those languages.
Yeah, sure. So as you know, I'm born in Hong Kong and my parents are from Hong Kong. So the first language that I actually heard and spoke was Cantonese. And then when we moved to Singapore, I started growing up in Singapore surrounded by English. So English became, I guess, the language that I'm most comfortable with and still is today. And of course, in Singapore, we have this thing called mother tongue as well, where you learn like the other language based on your ethnicity. So it's like a second language that you learn in school. So for me as an ethnic Chinese, I learned Mandarin. So Mandarin is decent for me as well, although of course, like slightly different from the level that you would expect from someone who was born in and grew up in China. So these three languages I grew up with. And then, as I mentioned, the first kind of extra foreign language I learned was French. And that was during my time in the military. On the weekends when I had a bit of time, I would go to this French school in Singapore. And they have like chapters all over the world, right? They're called Alliance Française. So very famous French school. I did like a 1 year's worth of French classes with them. And then I moved to the UK, where my university also had like a language center that sits like separately from all the other faculties. And they had like really good teachers there. So it was there when I continued learning French, got to kind of the C1 level on the European framework. And then I had some extra time before graduating, started learning German afterwards in my second year at uni and got to a C1 level for that as well. And currently I'm learning Danish because, I have some close friends who are Danes as well. So yeah, I guess that's kind of the story so far.
So that's what, 6 languages?
That's right.
6 languages. Yeah. Cool. And actually what got you kind of interested in learning French and German? Just because they were offered, or was it more about like interest in culture or something?
Yeah, I initially thought about French because, you know, I think like a lot of people learn French because they think, oh, it sounds super sexy. It's a very elegant sounding language. So it was the case for me as well, like completely superficial. There's no practical reason whatsoever why I would want to learn French. But it was a nice window, right? Like once you like learn the language, a big part of learning it is also you immerse yourself in like the movies, the films. First time I had French cheese was in the class at Alliance Française. So like seriously, it opens up like new perspectives. And then from there, just continued learning French because why not? For German, it was pretty much the same thing as well. Like I didn't have a specific reason for learning it. For some reason, I just thought the language sounded really nice, which when I tell Germans like, hey, I think your language sounds really sexy, they're like, huh, what are you talking about? Like, no one's ever said that to me. Because, like, stereotypes always German sounds, like, super harsh. Like, people imitate, I don't know, like, nein, das ist nicht gut, or something like that. So, yeah, I like that accent. I think the German accent in English, when speaking English, also sounds pretty interesting. So that was the main reason. But since then, I think because of learning French, because of learning German, you get to like meet more friends, right? And they kind of open up to you more quickly. So that's been really helpful too.
Right, the social aspect of things. You know what I find interesting is that you said, you know, you didn't really learn it for any particular reason that it could kind of add value to your life. But you pick two languages that are very, very helpful, very useful to anyone's career, like German and French. You could have picked, I don't know, whatever, Tagalog or something. Yeah. That just because of interest you want to learn, but actually would maybe not really help you so much in your career. But German and French, these are like, at least in European Union, like besides English, these are like the three main languages. So you pick really, really good languages to learn. You're lucky. Yeah. And then at the same time, you know Mandarin, which is like the future of languages, I guess.
Yeah, I would say I definitely got lucky. And lucky that my interests align with some really common languages. I'll give you an example of where it didn't align. So a lot of people ask me like, oh, when are you learning Spanish? And for me, yeah, I know like Spanish is super common. Everyone speaks it. But for some reason, I'm just like, I don't have that like intrinsic interest. So yeah, sometimes it aligns, sometimes it doesn't. But I'm lucky that I have Mandarin, French and German.
I think for economic reasons, you're like in a really good stage right now. I think for tourism, then Spanish was definitely like, if you're like, you know, you want to be like a world traveler, then I think Spanish comes really handy. But, you know, if you're based in Europe and then you just want a better career, I think German and French, you can't go wrong with those. And obviously Mandarin, right? Because anywhere in the world just wants to work with China.
Yeah, definitely. I think having that Mandarin helps. And recently when I was like talking to some companies during my job switch as well, I think like having those languages were a big selling point. Even if, you know, you're not native, as long as you have some of that competency, you can have like a decent conversation. I think it already helps with building that rapport and like opening up that door.
Especially now, like, especially when I was in the Netherlands or even here in Germany, when I was looking for a job, I remember like you'd see a lot of job openings that say, you know, fluent in English, fluent in German. French is a big plus. Mandarin is a big plus. And you'll just see that like, oh my God, like if you don't speak at least two of these languages, like the chances are like slim to none. Like this is the reality of today's job market.
Yeah, I feel like Europeans are so lucky, right? Because they grew up with, or many of them grew up learning another language, one or two extra languages in school. Like I think if you're in France, you grew up with the option to learn German, maybe French. I'm not sure if like even Chinese now or something. Same thing in like Germany, right? I think like many of them in secondary school, they can learn French or something.
I think they learn French, or some people even learn Latin, I think.
Mm.
And that's quite common. But yeah, a lot of people learn French. So like people have basic command of French, and a lot of people also in gymnasium like would learn Spanish or Latin or something like that. But yeah, people in general are kind of pushed to learn several languages. And yeah, in the Philippines, I'd say like people just learn English. If you're a bit better, you learn Spanish. I think now there's a push for Chinese, but it's not as ingrained in the educational system. So, you know, now that you have these kind of these languages in your pocket, like besides Danish, are you learning any other languages at the moment? Or are you interested in learning other languages in the future? Sorry, that's the better question.
Yeah, like very different answers to those two questions. So at the moment, only French and Danish, trying to improve my French because I'm in Luxembourg, which is, you know, very, very French heavy. Danish on the side as well, but with work is quite difficult. Would I like to? 100%. I think for me, I am quite interested in Arabic as well. I think it sounds really nice. But again, like it's a completely different system, right? It's a lot of work. So I don't have like a specific reason why I want to learn it besides the fact that it sounds really nice to me.
Yeah.
So I don't know if and when I will ever get around to this. Probably if I have more time, like, I don't know, outside of work one day, I will start doing it. But for me, like when I learn a language, I want to be very comprehensive, right? I don't like to do it halfway and be like, be able to say hello, bye-bye, how are you? And like do this every week. So I want to be able to spend a lot of time to get it at least to like a B2 level or like something that's like upper intermediate. So if I can't guarantee that I can do that, then I don't really want to start it yet.
Oof. Arabic sounds tough, man. Just the writing style is, and then the tones as well. I think it's one of the hardest to learn, like, besides Chinese. Like, it's in the same level. Like, if you're an English speaker, like, it's, like, on that list of, like, the hardest ones to learn because of the writing style as well. As
yeah,
tones.
Yeah. I've heard, I think, Mandarin, Arabic, some people say, like, Russian, and then Finnish as well or something. Like, those are some tricky languages for English, native English speakers.
Yeah. You know what's interesting about your life and your experience is that you've actually lived in Luxembourg and Singapore, which are both countries that have like several languages as its like official language. So they're like kind of heaven for a polyglot or an aspiring polyglot. Like you just kind of are exposed to a lot of different languages there. Did you actually also have some experience learning Bahasa in Singapore?
We use some words of Bahasa in Singlish. But unfortunately, I'm like super bad at it. I wouldn't be able to like understand like 99% of what someone says. Like I think, okay. Yeah, like in Singlish, we only say words, like occasional words, right? Like, oh, lepak, or like sedap. I don't know.
Sedap, yeah, sedap, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. What else? Sendiri, is that like myself?
I don't know. Like some words, the thing about Bahasa is the family language is the same as Tagalog. So some words to me, like I know what it means like in our language because it's the same pretty much.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Sadap is sarap in Filipino and it just means like tasty.
Well, we have some Malay words in our Singlish vocab, but that's like the extent to which I know Malay. It's like, hey, let's makan.
Let's makan, jalan.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Go jalan. Yeah.
So you know, and it's the same in Luxembourg. You have French, you have German. At the same time, you have like what's it called? The Luxembourgish, right?
Luxembourgish, yeah, yeah.
Which is kind of like a mix, I guess, of both, or not really.
So for me, it sounds like a German dialect, and that's what many people call it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Luxembourgers hate it when you say that because they, yeah, oh, to it's them, their it's own their thing. Own language. Exactly. It's like Singlish is Singlish, right? It's not.
It's not English.
Yeah.
Because I watched the TV series on Netflix and it was like based in Luxembourg. And I was like, some of the parts like I could understand almost completely. And then some is like, I don't understand anything. And it's just, but it's like one language. And like, this is kind of like German, but yeah, like you said, not really. Yeah, it's a dialect, but they won't consider it as a German dialect.
Yeah, exactly. And Luxembourg has more and more other languages coming up as well. Like French was always, so in the past, I'm not super sure that French and German used to be equally important,
mm-hmm.
Or like at least equally commonly spoken. But now there are a lot of French frontaliers, so like people who live in France, work in mm-hmm. Luxembourg. So French is getting like super common now on the streets, especially in like the urban areas. And then we also have like Portuguese, because actually like 20% of the population here is Portuguese, like just a lot of people come here to work for some reason who are Portuguese, Portuguese. So a lot of that on the streets as well. So, and I think more and more English as well, just because it's so international. So it's a changing landscape.
You know, we talk about learning new languages. I actually was wondering if, you know, by you learning new languages, does that kind of make you forget some of the other languages you learned? Like, for example, you're learning now Danish. And when I see Danish, at least written, some of the words look similar to German. Yeah. I'm not sure if it means the same thing. Also based, I think, they're both like Germanic languages. So I'm guessing like some of the words there would be very similar to each other.
Yeah.
But does that sometimes kind of confuse you, or does that make you then kind of forget German?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like not in a super negative way, right? For me, it feels a bit like you're juggling. Like if you're juggling with 6 balls, it's really hard compared to juggling with 5 balls. So like for me now, having 6 languages, I can barely keep up with maintaining all of them. And that's why I don't want to learn a new language as well, because it's already a lot of effort to maintain what I have. Yeah, being able to practice, have enough time to practice and immerse yourself is one. And also like confusing one language with another is another. So for example, when I try to speak Danish, there are days when you're on it and there are days when you're off it, right? So like if you're on it, you can focus, like everything that you learn comes out quite nicely. When you're off it, then sometimes like German words will pop up because like they sound similar. or like sometimes I just like can't seem to think in Danish, and then I just like stumble a lot and I'm slow. So it depends on the days, but for sure, if the languages are similar, it's a higher probability that you'll get confused. So I would get confused with German when mm-hmm. I speak Danish, but not for French or like Mandarin, for example.
Right, because it's completely different.
Yeah, it's completely different. And I think in my head as well, I have like one compartment for languages that I grew up with. So that's my English, Mandarin, Cantonese. And then another compartment for languages that I learned later on. That's like French, German, Danish. And if I like get confused, then I would never confuse like one compartment with the other. But even sometimes, like when I try to speak French and I'm not feeling it, I'm like, I've been speaking German for the past few days, even though those two languages are separate and quite different, I might still like have a little bit of overlap. So it depends on the days.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think, because when I moved here to Germany, I moved from the Netherlands and I had learned like A1, maybe A1.1 of Dutch. It helped me. It helped me a lot, at least with some day-to-day stuff and just learning the basics of German, because the languages are so alike. But then there were also these like words that sound the same but mean completely different stuff. So yeah, it does. It also did confuse me. But I was actually glad that I had kind of that knowledge of like A1.1 just to like help me learn it a bit quicker. But you also kind of get that regiment, you know, of learning. Like you kind of get used to a kind of discipline of how to learn a language. And I think that's something that, you know, when you kind of keep learning different languages, it's not like just being able to learn a new language and having experience of learning a different language just kind of gives you know what's important to learn. You know, kind of what people would expect, even though the languages are totally different languages, but you just know, like in day-to-day conversations, what kind of sentences would be like the most useful. Which kind of leads me to my next question is actually, what's your style in learning languages?
Yeah, I think that's such a interesting point. It's super useful to know how to learn a language. And I would say first foreign language that you learn will be probably the hardest. And then from there, it gets easier. So for me, my approach to learning a language, I like to be very structured. This is not everyone's style, right? Some people like to jump straight into it and practice speaking. For me, that is a big part of it, but I also want to know how the grammar rules work in that language. I want to know, for example, in French and German, you conjugate different words differently based on like who is doing what and the time and blah, blah, blah. So I like to know the grammar, including conjugations. I want to know the most common verbs as well, like in a structured way. So you know, you can have a decent conversation with someone if you know just 200 words. And I need to know like the high frequency words in that language. A lot of it is always verbs. Many of them are like common nouns. I like to know that as well. And then the last thing that I like to do, I guess, is immersion, right? So this is where it gets more exciting. You like listen to podcasts, you listen to TV shows, you listen to music, and then you try to like copy those sounds. You try to like make the same sounds, even if you don't exactly know what exactly they're saying. But that also helps. Like it's just like subconsciously helping your brain to absorb all those different like combinations of sounds and try to get a good accent going.
Yeah, definitely agree with you on that. I think it also just helps to, yeah, you said immersion, just like, you know, reading the newspaper once in a while, watching TV, listening to the radio, like all of this in the end. Like when you're there listening to it, you might think that, oh, I don't know how this actually benefits my language learning experience. But in the end, like you just get more used to the language. You just get more comfortable hearing it. And actually, because I've been listening to like a lot of German radio stations, like just being able to understand another German person speaking to me in German became a lot easier. Like over the years, just, you know, when I'm in the car, you just listen to German radio stations. And most of German radio stations is not actually playing music, but it's advertisements and people talking. It got me kind of better in that sense. I wanted to know, like you mentioned earlier that learning Danish, you did it to kind of communicate with your colleagues. And you said also, you know, learning French gave you kind of a better like social experience in Luxembourg. What do you think have been the other advantages of you having these languages in your pocket?
I think one thing is traveling. So yeah. I like traveling a lot. And for me, knowing that language definitely gives me a lot more peace of mind, I would say. Like, okay, I know that no matter what situation I am in, I will not be stuck with like no one understanding me. So that is super helpful. So that's one, being able to travel on your own. And then I think two, yeah, besides communication, having job opportunities open up as well. So if you're able to speak that language, basically you're looking at not just one job market or like a couple of job markets where they only speak English, but you're also looking at like France, Germany, Luxembourg, like China, the whole of China, Taiwan as well, for example. So a lot of job markets open up to you. So I think that's two. And then the third one, I think, is just is interesting, right? Like you get to experience different cultures. And, you know, like I've heard some people say if you learn a new language and you speak in that language, you adopt a different personality when you're speaking in that language. So okay. I don't know if it's completely true, like your personality changes, but I know that like at least the way that I communicate is slightly different. Like in English, I'm less direct. I don't know why. When I speak in German, for example, I'm a lot more direct. I don't think it's a stereotype thing. It's just like, I don't know, a quirk of my brain, but different brains work differently when they like speak in different languages. So it's also interesting to see how, I guess, like a language can make you more aware of how you're behaving in different social settings. Like, hey, am I behaving in a different way now versus if I'm doing it in English? Or like, oh, like, am I paying more attention to some of the non-verbal cues or like some other social norms than I would if it was just English?
I definitely get your point. I'm just trying to think about what you said, that you adopt a different personality. I'm not sure. Maybe my German is not so much at a high level where I'm like a different person, or maybe I'm just not sure. I actually want to ask people around me. But that's a very interesting point that you put there. Here's something I'm curious about. Has there ever been a time wherein, you know, because you know a lot of foreign languages, that, you know, you came to a situation where you wish you didn't actually understand like what someone's saying or something, like any negative experiences that you've had when you wish, oh, I just wish I didn't understand like French or German, whatever?
Wow, that's an interesting question. I think for me, I've been quite lucky. I have not had such experiences. Yeah, I've heard of people, you know, like understanding others talking about them behind their back and stuff like that. Maybe I'm lucky, but I haven't had that so much. I expected more people to talk about you behind your back, but no, like it hasn't been the case for me. It's only been positive so far. People have always been like pleasantly surprised, you know, that you put in the effort to learn their language. And as a result of that, or maybe like they're just more comfortable speaking in that language, maybe a combination of both, but they open up more quickly and more likely to make, I guess, a good acquaintance or a friend.
I'm just curious, what do people say when you, for example, you're in Denmark or you meet other Danish people and they meet like a foreigner who's actually currently not living in Denmark, but who's trying to learn Danish? What's their reaction to that?
Depends on the language. If it's Denmark, they'll be like, oh, why are you learning Danish? And not like, I don't know, German, Norwegian, something else. And then I think my Danish is not that good. So compared to my French and German, it's not great. But if I were like in France or Germany and I spoke those languages, you know, if they find out that you're not living in the country, then they'll be like, oh, wow, like, I didn't realize you were not living here. And that's always like a compliment, right?
That's a compliment.
Yeah. At least it goes to show that you can integrate better with someone if you speak that language. Don't necessarily have to be living in that country, right? The language itself already gets you a long way.
Right. And I think the biggest compliment is when they actually don't compliment you, but they just talk to you like a normal German person or a normal French person. At least this is what I feel like, when they don't need to switch, when they actually don't even care what you look like and they're just talking to you like any other person on the street.
Yeah, 100%. That's I think the highest compliment. It also puts pressure on you because now you know, like, okay, they're not going to slow down for me. They're not going to do English for me. I have to, like, up my game.
Definitely, definitely. I was just curious to know how your experience was when you've been learning all these languages, especially the European languages that you started learning. What are, like, typical Asian parents? How do they view you learning multiple languages or languages in general? Do they think of it as a waste of time?
Yeah, my parents are pretty chill. So they are super hands-off. I don't think they have a strong perspective on me learning languages.
Uh-huh.
But what my dad does sometimes is, like, when he comes across some German thingy that, I don't know, his friends or someone has forwarded to him and they don't understand, then he'll just forward it to me for translation. Like, same for my mom as well. Like, they'll just forward me random stuff and say, like, hey, what does this mean? So I guess to them, I'm like a walking translator.
You like the Google Translate for your parents.
Yeah, exactly.
Just you open it on the app. Just use the app.
Yeah, I don't know why they don't do it.
Having learned all of these languages, some of them while you were a child, to other kind of aspiring polyglots, what kind of advice would you give them? If you're learning a new language, maybe you're coming from Singapore and you're coming to Europe.
I think the biggest one by far, like, it doesn't matter what method you're doing, what language it is, the biggest advice is just stick to it and, like, persevere. Because it's at the end of the day, if you put in the hours, if you put in the effort, if you're willing to learn, then you'll get good, right? It's just a matter of time. So just stick to it.
I really, really enjoyed this conversation. I'll be putting the link to your YouTube channel, and I hope you upload more videos on your YouTube channel, but I'll be putting that link on the description for the people who listen to my podcast to eventually look at your page. Because also I think that combination of languages is not so common, someone who speaks Danish, French, German, and then Mandarin and Cantonese and English, like, that combination is just not the usual kind of polyglot language just to have. So yeah, thank you so much, Lucas, for your time.
Yeah, thanks, Lavin. This was very fun, very interesting experience for me as well. Definitely, I'll try to upload more. I think I need to persevere, like what you're doing with that podcast.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Pop Your Cultural Cherry. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other podcast streaming platforms. To be updated with our latest episodes, don't forget to give us a like and a follow on our Facebook page and our Instagram account.